Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Now, today we're continuing into the new year, and we're digging deeper into one of life's biggest questions: does my life really matter? In today's message, Rick's going to continue his powerful series, Live Your Calling, What on Earth Am I Here For? In it, you'll discover how living out God's purpose for your life brings real meaning, direction, and joy, no matter where you're starting from. Okay, let's join Rick for part two of a message entitled, Called to Be Loved.
Number two, how long is God's love? It's long enough to last forever. Now that makes it different than human love, because human love wears out. And that's why we have divorces. And that's why we have breakups. That's why we have conflict. And that's why we have people estranged from each other that are not reconciled, because human love often wears out. But God's love never wears out. God will never, 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 never stop loving you. Even if you chose to reject him and go to hell, God will still love you. Because God's love is eternal. He made you to love you. God loves you with an everlasting love. It's long enough to last forever. How deep is God's love? It's deep enough to handle anything. Deep enough to handle anything, no matter what pain you're going through, what problem you're going through, or what hurt you're going through, God's love is deeper still. You say, man, I'm in the pits. I've hit bottom. I'm in the pit of hell right now. I'm in the pit of despair. I can't get any lower than I am. Well, let me tell you what. God's love goes deeper and lower than your problem. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper. It is deeper than any problem you're going to ever handle, deep enough to handle anything. And how about height? How high is God's love? Listen to this. It is high enough to overlook my sins, to overlook my faults, to overlook my mistakes. Because of Jesus Christ, God is able to overlook my faults, my failures, my flubs, my sin, my rebellion. And God offers forgiveness through the cross because of his love. And he offers you a fresh chance to start over. Now, 1 million years ago, before anything existed, God had already thought of you and decided to choose you and love you. And God has been waiting your entire life for this very moment where he could get you to sit still for just a minute and he could say this to you. You have no idea how much I love you. I have always loved you. There has never been a moment of your existence that I didn't love you. I was the one who planned your birth. I allowed that fertilization. I allowed that conception. I wanted you alive so I could love you. And I saw you formed in your mother's womb. I saw you take your first breath. I heard your first cry. There's been no moment of your life that I've turned my back from you, that I have not listened to you, that I have not watched you. I've saw every pain you go through, every sin you've ever done, the celebrations and the sadness, the happy times and the sad times, the grief, the pain, the exhilaration. I've been there at every moment of your life. And whether you realized it or not, I was gazing on you in love because I made you to love you. So here's the question. How would your life change? How would your life be different? How would it be transformed if you began to be aware of God's unconditional, continuous, and never-ending love for you? How would your life change if when you got up in the morning, the first thing you felt was, I am deeply and unconditionally loved by God? And as you got out of bed and you went to take your shower, you'd think, I can sense God's love in my life. And how would it be as you got ready and you ate your breakfast, you felt the love of God. And as you got in your car to go to work, you felt the love of God. And as you got to work or you got to school, you felt the love of God. And when you came home and you went to a movie or you watched some TV or you worked out in your backyard, you were sensing God's love. What would it be like if you felt God's love unconditionally in your life totally and you were aware of it all the time? How would that change your life? I want to give you five ways. Five ways. I could give you 100, but I want to give you five very practical ways that this concept, if you get your first calling in life, is not to do something. Your first calling in life is to receive God's love, to just let God love you. How it'll transform your life. So let me give you five things that will radically change in your life if you will accept God's first call, God's first purpose of your life. What happens when I learn to become aware all the time? There's no moment that I'm not aware that I am loved unconditionally, deeply, and eternally by God. Number one, I feel accepted rather than ashamed. I feel accepted rather than ashamed, and that'll change your life. Most people go through their entire life avoiding God. And the reason why they avoid God is because they are ashamed. They feel ashamed. They feel guilty. They feel under condemnation. They feel judged. They feel criticized. They think, God is a perfect God, and I am so not perfect. So why in the world would I want to hang out with a perfect God who's simply going to remind me of all the ways that I've failed? Because that's not what God does. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. The Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a no condemnation lifestyle. Now the Bible says this, Romans 5 verse 1. By faith, we have been made acceptable by God, acceptable to God. And now, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live in peace with him. We've been made acceptable to God. Circle that word, acceptable. And because of that, God accepts me completely, totally, unconditionally, because of his love, I live at peace with God. Now, let me tell you why that's so important, because it sets you free from the addiction that you have to approval. You have spent your entire life trying to gain the approval of other people. And everything you do is determined to get other people's acceptance and approval. You dress the way you do in order to get other people's approval. You talk the way you do in order to get other people's acceptance and approval. You do certain things in life, some things you wouldn't even want to do, but you do them because you want the approval of other people, and you are addicted to their approval, and you've been trying to gain approval from some unpleasable people your entire life, and you're never going to get it. But when you realize that God loves you unconditionally and without condition of any type, you realize this: I don't need the approval of other people. And it sets you free. I don't need other people's approval to be happy. Most of your life, you have been worried about what other people think. And that's because you don't feel totally, unconditionally loved by God. And when you don't feel it, then you're trying to make yourself impressive and you're trying to get the approval of other people. But when you know God loves you, criticism doesn't bother you anymore. Because if God loves me and I like me, you don't like me, that's your problem. You know, because I'm a pretty well-known person in this country, I get anybody who's pretty well-known is going to get a lot of criticism. And you say, Rick, how do you handle all that criticism? Because I don't care about it. I know God loves me unconditionally, so what's your problem? You know, I don't need your approval, okay? I don't need it. And whether you like me or not is totally irrelevant to my happiness. It's not going to affect me one bit. Because I'm not looking for your love. I'm looking to receive the love that I'll never deserve from God. Criticism doesn't bother you. Look at the next verse, Romans 8. If God says his chosen ones are acceptable to him, and he has, can anybody bring charges against them? The answer is no. Or can anybody condemn them? The answer is no. Does criticism really matter? No, indeed. Because I feel accepted rather than ashamed. That's a big one. It'll set you free. Number two, when I experience the unconditional love of God on a daily, moment-by-moment basis, I am bold in bringing my needs to God. I'm bold in my prayers. Why? Because I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a member of the family. And so I know God loves me unconditionally, and when I pray to him, I can talk to him about anything because I'm his son. When my kids were little and they would come to me, they could ask me anything, and they would come and just tell me what they needed. They assumed I had everything, knew everything, and could afford everything. Now, you know that's not true, and I know that's true. But with God, it is true. The Bible says, well, actually, in Romans 8, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So, you should not be cowering like fearful slaves. No. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family. God adopted us into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. Now, I love that phrase, Father, dear Father. The word there is the Aramaic word Abba. Now, Abba is not just a Swedish rock group. Abba is the word in the Middle East, in almost all of the Semitic languages, for daddy. It's the first word every kid in the Middle East learns. Abba. It's easy to say. Abba, papa, dada, mama, Abba. Abba simply means daddy. And the Bible says that when you come to God in prayer, you come to him and you say, dada, papa, Abba, Father, dear Father. You don't come to him with some fancy phrase. If my kids had come to me and say, they needed allowance money. Oh, thou most gracious progenitor of the Warren family, thou wonderful observer and keeper of all the family funds. I'd go, huh? No. They just say, Dad, I need cash. Okay, it's just like real straightforward. Very bold, Dad, I need cash. And the Bible says that you can come to God and say, Dad, I need cash. Abba, Father, just in the most intimate terms, God doesn't want you. You know all these fancy flowery prayers that everybody prays? God's going, what are you talking to? You're to talk to me as Abba, Father, Daddy, my Daddy. I feel bold in bringing my request to God. Talk to him, Father, dear Father. And since we are his children, we will share in his treasures. In other words, I'm a son of God. I get the family inheritance. You're a daughter of God. You get the family inheritance. We will share in his treasure, for everything God gives to his son, Christ, is ours too. Kay and I went to see the movie Lincoln. Have you seen this movie? It's a good movie. You know what impressed me the most about Lincoln? Was not what a great leader he was. He was. And a magnanimous leader. He was. What impressed me the most throughout that movie was how he gave total, complete, unconditional access to his youngest child, Ted. And Ted, here's Lincoln, the most powerful man in the world, in the greatest crisis in American history, the Civil War. There is a line of people outside waiting to get in the Oval Office, waiting for weeks for an appointment. And little Tad can come barging into the Oval Office at any point. And Lincoln will stop talking to the Secretary of War or the Secretary of Defense or whatever and sit down and put Tad on his lap and say, what's going on? And Tad will even come in with, pulling a little horsey, pulling a trailer and all kinds of stuff. And why? He has privileges. He's a son. He's not all those people like out in the outer room. He's family. He gets special entry. He has total access to God. I'm a son of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You get total access because he loves you that much. He didn't say, excuse me, I'll put you on an appointment in 3 months. You can come boldly to God and talk to him about anything, anytime, anywhere, and God's not going to go, excuse me, I'm a little busy. I'm trying to solve the Middle East crisis right now. No, you're a child of God. You get special privileges, and you're bold in bringing your needs to God. Most of you know, Bono and I are pretty good friends. We've done some stuff together on AIDS, the peace plan, and things like that. And I've known him, and Cade knows him real well. So when he was coming to town, he sent all of my family, not just tickets, but all access badges, passes. So when you go over to Anaheim Stadium, there are like rings of, you know, really dud people get kept out here. And then if you're cool, you can get into this far. And if you're super cool, you get into this level. If you're really cool, you get into this level. And if you're like family, you get all access. You can go anywhere. And I have to admit, I later had to confess my pride, but I loved going around and showing this arm. All access. Yeah. And you go up, and here's these giant thugs standing there going, how are you going to get in here? I'm part of the family. Please come in, Mr. Warren. You know. When you become a child of God, you get an all-access pass. And God goes, you're in. Anytime you want to talk to me, pick up the phone. Talk to me. Talk to me in prayer 24 hours a day. I become bold in bringing my needs to God. Look at this verse, Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace. That means prayer. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. The word is actually boldness. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us when in our time of need. You need to be bold in your prayer. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You're loved unconditionally. And Jesus said, you can ask anything in my name. I feel accepted rather than ashamed. And I am bold in bringing my needs to my Abba Father, my Papa Father. Number three, when I understand God's love conditionally and I just experience it, not just know it, I have peace in pain I don't understand. Peace in pain that I don't understand. You're going to have a lot of things that happen in your life you don't get. You're going to ask the why questions of life. God, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to our family? Why now? Why here? Why this? You're going to see things happen in the world. Lord, why? Now, let me just say up front, God doesn't owe you an explanation for why he allows anything. I will tell you this, not everything that happens in the world is God's will. God hates the evil, and a lot of evil is done in the world. And God could easily take away evil, really simple, take away your freedom to do it, and mine too. Because you've done some evil things in life, and so have I. And he could easily get rid of all suffering by taking away your choice and my choice and turn us all into puppets. But he wants us to voluntarily love him, so he puts up with the pain that evil caused in order to give you the freedom of choice. And you're going to go through life, and a lot of things in life you're not going to understand. Losses you don't understand, hurts you don't understand, rejection you don't understand, problems you don't understand. But here's the thing, you don't have to understand them to be at peace. In fact, an explanation doesn't give you peace anyway. When someone you love dies, if somebody told you the explanation for it, it wouldn't make you any happier. You still have the loss. Explanations don't comfort. What you need is not peace. I mean, not an explanation. You need presence, the presence of God in your life. And what you need is what the Bible calls the peace that passes understanding. Look up here on the screen. Philippians 4:7 says this, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what is the peace that passes understanding? It's when you feel at peace even though you don't understand what's going on. You have no reason, no explanation, no discernment. You just don't know why it's happening, but you're still at peace. And that is a supernatural peace that comes from God, is that peace that passes understanding, because I don't know why this is happening, but I do know this. I do know God is a good God. And I do know that he loves me. And I do know that he wants what's best for my life. And I do know that I can trust him even when I don't understand it. That's the peace that passes understanding. And it comes from feeling the love of God in your life.
What a fantastic message from Pastor Rick. You know, Daily Hope is changing lives every day. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Hi, everybody. Today I want to share a letter from Edom, a listener from Canada, who talks about the impact Daily Hope has had in his life. I love these stories. He writes, "The Daily Hope ministry has helped me greatly in shifting the lens through which I see life. I know now that I was created for God to fulfill his purpose. I understand that every trial or every situation I face in life is a test of my character and is preparing me for heaven. I started listening to Daily Hope at a time when I was confused about my existence. This was when times were bad and I didn't have a job. I always thought a profession defined who I was, but Daily Hope shifted my perspective on life and my purpose. And I soon started to experience peace in my heart when I least expected it. Now, even though I landed a great job, I understand that it doesn't define who I am or my purpose. I was created by God and for God, and I want to surrender fully to his will. So I want to say thanks to you and to the entire Daily Hope team for the impact that you've had on my life." What an incredible testimony of how God's working through Daily Hope to bring about strong sense of purpose in people's lives. So thank you, everybody, for your ongoing support and your faithful prayers. More lives like Edom's will be changed in Jesus' name because of you.
Hey, if you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, he would love it. Please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.